Welcome to Sprinkled with Hope, your host Shane. And today we have an amazing, talented singer, songwriter, loves to share her talent. Madeline Page is joining us. She gives some amazing insight into how to overcome fears and just find your outlet and run with it.
Yeah, Madeline joined us, and it was really a great episode. I don't know if you know Madeline or not, but if you don't, please tune in. And if you do, she's got a special thing for everybody that's listening. So you want to listen all the way to the very end. This is a great episode. So buckle up. Here we go. Madeline Page.
Welcome to the Sprinkled with Hope podcast.
Welcome to Sprinkle with Hope, your host, Shane. And today we have an amazing guest, Madeline Page. Thank you so much, Madeline, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Your mom and I grew up, we've been childhood friends for a long time.
Yeah, she told me about that. That's crazy.
She's an amazing
person. Here it is, going full circle.
Yeah. So for those of our listeners who don't know you, why don't you just introduce yourself just a little bit and give some background to who you are?
Yeah, for sure. I'm Madeline Page. I'm a singer. I've been singing ever since I can remember, since I was really little.
That's awesome.
And I've just always loved it. And when I was 16, I started pursuing music as a career. I was kind of just thrown into everything. It's quite a journey and quite a story, but I was discovered by The Voice, long story short, and they invited me to audition. And so I went and I got to be on The Voice, and it was incredible. And then that kind of was the launch pad to the rest of my career, and it just opened a lot of doors. So when I came home from that, it just snowballed from there, and I got to release original music. I got to speak and sing all over the US and Canada and in Japan to different groups and share experiences I've gone through and music I've written. And then fast forward to today, obviously haven't gotten to do a whole lot of that because of the current things going on in the world with COVID, but I've gotten to just use this time to focus on original music and songwriting and recording and all that good stuff. So next year, lots of new music's coming out. I'm excited. So yeah, there's a little big summary.
That's great. That's awesome. You just released a song. I think it's called Enough. That was really deep and powerful. And
thank you.
Do you want to share a little bit about that, or should we not talk about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm kind of an open book when it comes to my songs.
Okay.
So, yeah. So Enough, actually, it has a very interesting backstory. It's a very personal song to me. I wrote this song after my parents got divorced. And they just got divorced in March of last year. So not too long ago. But it was a while before I could write about it because the emotions were so raw. And usually that's when you're supposed to songwrite. But it was just too fresh for me. And I knew I wanted to say something about it, but I didn't know how to put my feelings and thoughts into words quite yet. So, few months after the divorce, when I was able to kind of process it a little bit more, because it was super unexpected and out of the blue, and it was really hard for me and my family. I met with a couple songwriters that I am super close with, and I talked to them about it. And songwriting sessions are kind of like therapy sessions. So you've just basically vent to people. And it's really interesting because sometimes I'll have writing sessions with people I have never met before. And I just have to get very raw right off the bat. but that's how you come up with the best songs. So anyways, I just opened up about the divorce, and it was the first time really opening up about it and talking about it out loud with people outside of my family. And we ended up writing Enough. And this song is kind of just, I wrote it in an analogy, to kind of describe the story. And, I wrote it kind of from my mom's perspective, actually. Mm. So yeah, it's very personal. Every time I sing it, I usually start to get emotional towards the end. So I kind of have to, you know, separate myself from it emotionally sometimes when I sing the song, but, I'm excited that I finally got to share it with everybody. So.
Yeah, it's really a raw song, and it has a lot of emotion in it. And I love that, because I think, you know, music touches the human soul in a different way than just words do. I love listening to music. I mean, that's one of my passions. I can't sing, but I love listening to music because it can touch you in such a way. And so I'm so grateful that you did share that song with us, that we can feel that emotion through your songwriting. So thank you for bringing such a personal thing to light and sharing it with the world.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. I've just realized with my music that I'm working on right now and that I'm going to be putting out, I want it to all be very relatable and raw and real, because I feel like there's enough music out there that's the opposite and that just does not, it's just kind of shallow, you know, it doesn't get into people's hearts and souls. I want my music to get into people's hearts and souls. And I want when people listen to my music to say, oh my gosh, it's like she's speaking something I've gone through, or I can totally relate to this. And it's just been so cool to already see that with the music I have put out. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what, other than just kind of doing some songwriting, what's the most exciting thing happening in your life right now? What's super exciting going on in Madeline's life?
Let's see. Well, the holidays are coming up. So I'm very excited about that. I feel like everybody's extra excited about Christmas this year. I don't know if you guys feel that same way.
Yes.
But it's like after 2020, I think everybody's extra just anxious for the Christmas magic and spirit. So yesterday we put up our trees in our house, and it's just very, very happy. So that's fun. I'm looking forward to that. And then singing Christmas music, I'm excited for that. I usually perform around Christmas time. Usually that's kind of a busy time for me performing wise, but sadly I won't really be doing much of that this year. So hopefully I'll be able to put out some Christmas music or something.
But awesome.
Yeah, we'll that's see. Great.
Yeah, 2020 has been a long 5 years, right?
Oh, seriously.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon you can get back to produce or to being in front of a live audience and doing the things that you love. So you shared that you've been singing for a long time. Is that part of your family, or was that just something within you, or how did you develop this passion for singing?
Great question. Yeah. So when I was younger, I got to live in Japan actually with my family for a few years, and it was really, really cool to live there. An amazing experience. I was only in elementary school, the last couple of years we were there, but I feel like I remember it very vividly, because it was just such a pinnacle, you know, time of my life. I was probably 7, 8. And I feel like that's when I really started singing, just around the house. It was interesting because some singers will say, oh yeah, since the moment I was, you know, born, I wanted to be a singer. Like they just say that. But for me, honestly, I had a lot of different career paths that I wanted to do growing up, even though I loved singing and I did it a lot around the house, but I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. I thought I was going to, because I love animals. I thought I'd be a track runner. At one point, I thought I'd be a movie director because I love like cameras and movies and stuff. So I've been all over the place, as you can see. But I, when I was 11, I ended up performing in my ward, my home ward, and it was like a ward idol thing. They were basically copying American Idol, and or doing a spinoff of it. And I sang the Christmas song. It was Christmas time, and I ended up winning it. And it was like the first time that everybody outside of my family heard me sing. So it was like, it wasn't this kind of secret anymore. And after that point, there was no going back. You know, people started asking me to sing in church. And then when I was 13, I started taking voice lessons with my teacher. I'm still with her to this day. So it's been a decade.
That's awesome.
Crazy. And then I started doing local competitions around Utah. And that's kind of what I did. That's how I got performance experience in the very beginning. Is I would do local competitions, and I would, again, I'd sing in church. I sing in school, stuff like that. And as far as, getting influenced to sing by my family, my grandpa, my dad's dad, he was very musical growing up. He played the accordion and he sang. And so I feel like I definitely got influenced by him. And then my mom, absolutely my mom, because growing up, my mom has a beautiful voice. She's very shy about it, and she'll never admit it, and she'll never sing for anybody. My goal one day is to get to sing with my mom, but
that'd be awesome.
I know. It'll happen one day. It will. I know it. Yeah. But I grew up with her playing the piano and singing, and she has just a very angelic voice. And so I was surrounded by that growing up, and I would join her when I started singing more. I would join her, and she'd play the piano and I'd sing. And so I feel like I was very influenced by her. And then a couple of my sisters as well, they sing, and we love to sing together. We need to do it more because our voices, we're sisters, so our voices go really well together.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's super fun. And then actually last Christmas, it was the first time all my siblings and I sang together, every single one of us, all five of us. Because my youngest sister and my older brother don't really sing in front of people, at least, but they have really good voices. And so we finally persuaded them to do a group number, and it was like my dream come true. So
now just work on your mom.
Yeah,
exactly. Now I just got to work on my mom.
It'll happen.
Yeah. It will happen.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I'll make sure of it.
We'll get Shane to help persuade her too.
Okay, good. Please do.
We'll hit her any way we can, right? We'll make it happen. So you're releasing an album or songs in January, something like that I heard the other day.
Yeah, so I'm releasing, it's going to be crazy, actually, because I'm releasing a single every 4 weeks the whole year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's
cool.
It's a lot of songs, so... that's why I'm songwriting so much right now. We're just like trying to get ahead of ourselves, stacking up all the songs. And right now so the first song, yes, will be coming out January 8th. And that one is almost finished. So it's like in the final stages of production. So I'm really excited about that. And then, I have like two others that are completely ready to be produced, like finished writing and everything. And then I have like maybe 4 to 6 others that are partially written. So, and then obviously I'll be writing even more songs. So
that's awesome.
it's exciting. It's going to be a lot, but it's like my dream because I love doing original music. I just love it. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to be known for. I've done YouTube and covers for quite a while, and it's fun, and there's a place for it for sure. And there's a lot of songs out there that I love to sing and cover, but I don't want to just be a cover artist. And I realized that a few years back that I knew I wouldn't be completely content just doing covers for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. I love originality too. I think that, you know, then you can bring yourself into it, right? And not whoever else wrote the song. It's more about Madeline and kind of what's in your heart and, you know, what you have to sing to others. So I love that.
It's so true.
I love that idea. So
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It feels like me, you know, it feels like,
yeah.
Yep.
And I just, I feels authentic when I know it's coming from me. So.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I think the world needs more of is authentic, real, raw people. And, you know, our emotions are everything. I think that there's a lot of value in that. So thank you for putting that out. We'll be looking forward to it for sure.
Thank you.
So I'm excited. We're happy that you've taken the approach to be a singer and not a veterinarian or something else. We enjoy your singing.
Thank you.
Those people.
I'm glad too.
Your voice is amazing.
Thank you so much. It was funny because growing up, my family would joke about me being a singing veterinarian. I'd like sing go. With my coworkers.
Yeah, there you go.
So funny. I'm really glad too, though. I'm really glad. I know I'm doing what I'm meant to do. So yeah,
absolutely. Good. Follow your heart. And that's kind of, you know, I think oftentimes me and Shane in our podcast community, where, you know, we try to get people to understand that following your heart and doing your passion, that there's a lot to be said for that, even if the road is hard, right? And I think you're a testament to that. So, you know, how have you kind of overcome that or seen this dream that, you know, once was, and now you're turning it into a reality? How has that kind of affected all of your decisions up to this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like I said before, I mean, it's been quite the journey for me. I know when I summed it up, it sounds like it's just been easy. And in a way, I've been very blessed with opportunities that kind of did fall into my lap as in The Voice. But it definitely didn't come easy. It landed in my lap, but it wasn't an easy decision for me to move forward with it. Like I said, I started singing when I was 11 and I started competing when I was 13. And for a while, it performing came fairly easy to me. It's not something that, like, I didn't have stage fright or, get super, super nervous. It didn't really take over at all for me, in the beginning. And then, when I went into high school, freshman, sophomore years of high school, I really struggled making friends, and I felt very just alone, and I started to fall into the pit of comparison and being too hard on myself and having a lot of negative thoughts about myself, and my self-esteem just dropped. It plummeted. Mm. And this, as you can imagine, you know, it definitely affected my confidence to want to perform and to want to be on stage in front of people. And I no longer had that desire around those young teenage years. So that was probably when I was like 14, 15. When I think back on those years, I wouldn't ever want to live through them again, because they were kind of darker years for me, just as in...
Sure.
Challenging and lonely. I felt invisible. I felt like nobody saw me, and just super insecure. So I honestly stopped performing for a while during that time. My mom, she's amazing. She's always been my cheerleader. Same with my dad. Both of them have, and they've always really encouraged me to put myself out there. And they're like, you know, you have these talents for a reason, and that reason's not to hide them. And I knew that. But it was just really hard for me to get outside of myself, I guess, at that time, because I was just so insecure. So I ended up getting really bad social anxiety too at this time. And eventually it really did, I feel like, turn into stage fright. And so I just had this fear of being in front of people at all. And it was like, just all of a sudden, it just, but a culmination of things led to it. And so, I actually did a local competition, and I pushed myself outside of my comfort zone at that time. I did this competition, even though I didn't want to. And I ended up getting discovered after doing that competition because my performance video is posted onto YouTube. And a producer from The Voice saw the video, and they contacted us and they asked me to come audition for the show. And I was this close to saying no. I was this close. And I'm so glad I didn't, because it would have literally changed my whole life, and not for the better. I mean, I would not be where I am today, for sure. So that one decision really impacted my whole life in a big way. And thankfully I ended up deciding to just take the leap of faith, even though I was terrified. And I didn't even know that I'd get on the show. My mom kind of tricked me. She was like, no, it'll be good audition experience. The chance of you actually getting on the show is really, really slim. There's like thousands of people that audition. I was like, okay. Yeah. You're right. I don't want to regret it. You know, I don't want to regret it. So she kind of helped trick me into it. And I did actually get on the show. So,
that's awesome.
But it was amazing. And I learned so much from the experience. And honestly, it didn't automatically help me conquer my fear of stage fright and insecurity, but it pushed me so far outside of my comfort zone. There was no going back.
Yeah.
And I kind of discovered my potential, and I realized what I was capable of. And so when I got off The Voice, I had this like newfound confidence, and that just grew over the years with experience as I started diving into performing. And I was now known as Madeline Page, you know, this singer, like people actually knew my name, mm-hmm. you know, and so, yeah, just grew.
That's awesome.
That's awesome that you shared, you know, all these struggles and trials that you were going through personally, just self-confidence that you lacked and all of these things. And it took one decision to change that all around, was to go onto The Voice. That's really cool. So what advice would you give to somebody who was maybe interested in being a musician? What's one thing that you can tell them that may help them push themselves over this edge?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, don't let fear control you.
Mm, love it.
I heard a quote once, and I can't remember exactly how it was said, but something like, fear is a creation of our own mind. Like it's basically our own imagination, because fear isn't like this tangible real thing. It's not like when we have a fear of something that we're predicting it's going to happen for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, it really is our own minds kind of just like fooling us.
Absolutely.
And so I would just say firstly, don't let fear control your decisions, and don't let it win. And the way, obviously that's easier said than done. And I know that firsthand, trust me. But the way to overcome your fear is to do exactly what you're afraid of. Honestly, I know that's not the answer that anybody ever wants to hear. They just want this magical solution. And really the magical solution you're looking for is to face your fears head on. And for me, that was performing and being on stage, and I faced it head on. And that's exactly what, over time, like I said, it wasn't just The Voice that automatically, oh, it's cured. You know, I'm not afraid of performing anymore. And I still get nervous. I still get nervous, and I still get anxiety all the time when I'm going to go on stage, but it's under control, because I've done it so much now through experience that I have kind of overcome that fear. So performing is no longer a fear of mine. It's something that I've come to love. And I really think that fears in life can actually become something that we love, or something that we enjoy, or something that we can at least tolerate. So, and I think that applies to everything. Obviously, you know, not everybody listening to this or watching this is a performer or going to have an identical life story to mine, but everybody has fears, whether it's spiders or heights or whatever it is. And it's just take that leap of faith and trust that there is a plan to your life, and you have an individual purpose, and only you can accomplish that purpose. And so it's up to you to take the bull by its horns, and it's up to you to carve your path, you know. And if you let fear control your life, you're going to be stagnant. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to progress, and you're not going to reach your potential. So don't let it control you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great advice.
I couldn't have said it any better.
I don't think you've reached your potential. I think
so. Yeah, go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't want to, but I'd love to hear maybe a little song that you've got, you know, before we ask our last couple of questions. Is there a song that you'd maybe like to share with the audience and share with me and Shane at this time?
Yeah, I could share a little like blip for you.
That'd
guys.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I didn't warm up today, so don't judge me too hard.
Hey, I have no room to judge. So
nope.
Okay, let's think.
Yeah, I hate to put you on the spot, but I'd love to hear your voice. I think it's awesome, and to share that on a podcast would be
right
amazing for me. So
you can just give us a few lines. It doesn't have to be the whole song.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, of course, you guys. Thank you. Thanks for asking. I'll give it my best shot.
Awesome.
So I actually have a keyboard right here.
Oh, awesome.
It's not a newer song. Actually the first single I ever released, and it's one of the songs that a lot of my fans that follow me kind of know me for. It's called Irreplaceable. So I'll sing a little bit of that for you guys.
Perfect.
And I wrote this actually circling back to my high school times. I wrote this when I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in the thick of that experience of just feeling invisible, and I didn't feel happy with who I was, and I didn't love myself. And so I wrote this song to remind myself that I'm good enough and that I'm irreplaceable. And I just think this is a very important message for all of us to remind ourselves of every single day. And especially when we feel like comparing ourselves to other people, but nobody can be just like us. So this is Irreplaceable. Should I just disappear? I tried to fit in next to you. Guess I wasn't clear, or maybe I'm just not good enough. Feel so alone here, can't even be myself. Trying to fit in, left all the ammo on the shelf. Do I belong here, or should I just stop trying to be some other girl? When I fight, I'm all alone. I gotta tell myself I'm irreplaceable. Bending backwards, trying to be someone else. I tell myself I'm irreplaceable.
Oh, thank
that
you
is
so
amazing.
Much.
I wish thank I could you. Sing like that even after warming up, but I I can't sing. So thank you for sharing that talent.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
That was awesome. And really, we are, and you are, irreplaceable, right? Like, we can't, you know, we all have worth and value, and we shouldn't discredit that ever. Because we all have something to give. And so thank you for sharing that message with us and in song today. And and through your music and your heart. I really appreciate it and was touched by that. So
yeah, of course. Thank you so much. It means a lot.
Yeah. So we have come to a point in the discussion where Jason and I call it the double down dose.
Cool.
So my question for you, Madeline, is how would you define hope?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think I've ever been asked this either, but this is the first thing that pops in my head. For me, I think hope is what we make it. Like I was saying, fear is mental. I think hope is mental too. Mm. I think a lot of things in life are very mental. And our thoughts are very powerful. And I heard a quote once that was, that said, our circumstances don't define our happiness. Mm. And I really, really love that. That has stuck with me ever since I heard it. And for me, when I have gone through hard times in my life, such as my divorce, with my parents, or even just everything going on in the world. It can get so stressful and discouraging, honestly. It's so easy to just get caught up in everything and to feel really down and to feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But one thing for me that helps me to feel optimistic or hopeful, I would say, is remembering the things that I'm grateful for. Mm. And I know that's probably something that a lot of people have been told before, and it's like, yeah, but it's so true. Like it really is like this very, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's very, it works. When I think of the things that I'm grateful for in a moment when I'm feeling really down and I feel like I'm not grateful for anything, just because I'm only focusing on the negative, I immediately, it almost like soothes the pain. It soothes the discouragement, the sad feelings, when I remember the things that I do have, when I remember like that I live in a house that has heat, mm-hmm. and I live with my family and we're all healthy. And, you know, I get to do what I love for career, and just, I mean, I get to eat food every day. I have unlimited access to water. I mean, just down to the smallest things, it really helps me to be optimistic. And then I would say the other thing is keeping things in the big picture. Perspective is everything. I'm so huge on that. And I just think it's so easy to, when something is happening in our life that's really hard, to kind of just completely zone in on that. And it's like tunnel vision. And all we can think about and focus on is that thing that's happening in our life that's pulling us down or that's stressing us out. But when you pull back and you look at the big picture, it makes it a lot easier to have hope for things to get better, or to realize that everything happens for a reason and that there's always lessons to be learned from every experience we go through in our life. And I truly believe that. And so, and there's a big eternal perspective to life. And we all have a plan, like I said before, and just viewing it that way, that there's a lesson to be learned. And I truly believe everything we go through in our life is specifically for us to make us better and to help build our potential, build who we are, and help us reach our potential ultimately. And so just viewing it like that really helps me. So like I said, just to recap, perspective and gratitude. That for me really helps me to be optimistic and to be hopeful, to have hope. And things do get better, I promise. And this is coming from firsthand experience of going through hard things. So things do get better.
Awesome. I love it. I really do. I love it. I totally agree. Gratitude, when your heart is in gratitude, you can overcome a lot of things.
It's true.
So I really like that. So the second piece to our Mine and Shane's double down dose is, what is your definition of love, or how would you define love?
Great question. I would say, and again, I've never been asked this either. These are good questions. You really have to think deep. I love it. When it comes to love, I would say it's like a superpower, kind of. It's like the healing power of the universe to heal all anger and hatred. So I would define it as, it's like this superpower, and it's the definition of caring for somebody, or seeing somebody for more than the surface level, being able to see them in a deeper way, and being able to accept somebody despite their flaws and mistakes, and being able to not judge somebody or judge others. I really think also love is, it's the opposite of, you know, contention or just negative feelings. It's the epitome of joy. I really think when you have love for people, it brings a lot of peace into your life. It helps you forgive, helps you, like I said, not judge them. Yeah, I'm trying to put my thoughts to words, but yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Love is amazing.
I agree. It is hard to express a feeling of in feel it so deeply inside of you. I totally agree. And that's why we asked the question, because it is thought provoking.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't even know what I was going to say until it came out of my mouth. So.
That's great. I love it. I think the world needs more of love and hope. And so that's why we ask those questions.
Absolutely. I agree. Podcast. And can I add one more thing too?
Yes, please.
Yes.
I thought of this too, and it has to do with the hope thing. But another thing that really has helped me is finding an outlet for the hard things that I go through. It's very healing for me, and it brings me a lot of hope. And for me, that's been sharing my experiences through music with other people and seeing how it heals them in their lives. And so that brings me hope and helps me get through the hard times. So that can be different things for everybody. My sister, she goes to the gym, and that is her outlet. Everybody has their thing. And so find an outlet, find your passion, and let that kind of be your source of healing and your source of hope. So I just wanted to add that too.
I love it.
That's a great ending thought. So Madeline, we really appreciate your time with us. You shared your talent of singing. That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully someday we can meet you. Tell your mom we want to get together.
Yeah.
Hey, I will. I will, for sure. Right after I get off this call.
Sounds great. Thank you again so much for your time.
Yes, thank you, Madeline.
Of course. Thank you guys for asking me to be a part of this, and for your great, great questions. You asked great questions, and it got me thinking a lot. Now I'm in like this very deep place.
I love it.
Thanks so much. And it's nice to meet you guys and see you and talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
This is Sprinkled with Hope. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend.
If you like our podcast, please give us a review or rating.